Well, we have been looking at Matthew chapters 1 and 2. And Matthew focuses on the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he's been telling us things about Christ. For example, he has made it absolutely clear to us that this Lord Jesus is Almighty God. He is nothing less than Almighty God. He says his name is Emmanuel, and God says of him, "This is my son, my beloved son." Matthew has shown us that Jesus Christ is the heir of the promises of God. All the covenant riches, everything are his. He's shown us that he is from David and the throne of David and the kingdom of David, an everlasting kingdom. It's his. He is the Messiah, the anointed of God. He has shown us that Jesus came to save his people from their sins. And we have seen recently how in our Lord's life he came to, as it were, to redo our lives. We make a mess of our lives. Christ gets it right. We disobey. He obeys. He is righteous. And by his saving work, he clothes us with his righteousness so that we do not need to be ashamed of our filthy rags. That's what he's doing. And Matthew is going to tell us as well, he's going to lead us to the cross of Christ where his saving death was accomplished. And he's going to take us to the empty tomb and he's going to tell us that Christ is risen from the dead, is now in all authority is given to him, and we know from other Gospels and here that he will come again. We are waiting for him to come again. This is the Gospel that Matthew has written down. This is what we believe, and we have a message to say to the world. We have things to tell the world which are more precious than anything they have. We have Christ to present to this lost world. Christ, the Saviour of sinners, the King of kings, the one who is coming on the clouds of heaven. Now then, in Matthew chapter 2 and verses 16 to 18, we read of a terrible event. It's described as the slaughter of the infants. You know, when these wise men, these magi, when they turned up in Jerusalem, they alerted King Herod. You know, he's known as Herod the Great. I can't bring myself to call him Herod the Great. Let's just be satisfied with King Herod. They alerted King Herod to the fact that the Messiah had been born. Now, in one sense, that wasn't news to Herod. He jolly well knew that the Messiah was coming. He knew that. But when he heard that the Messiah or the Christ had been born, he set out to destroy him. You see, imagine Bethlehem and all the area around it. Every single family that had a little baby boy was weeping, because Herod sent his soldiers to kill every single baby boy. Why? Because among them, he thought, was the Messiah. He didn't know him, but he said, "I'll find him, I'll seek him, and I will destroy him." Now let me tell you something, a little bit, about this monster, Herod. Herod the monster is probably better. He was a most wicked and ruthless king. The Emperor Augustus said it was better to be Herod's pig than to be his son. What he meant was, do you know Herod murdered his second wife. He murdered her two sons. He murdered his mother-in-law. And then, nearly the end of his life, he murdered his firstborn son. That's why Augustus said, "I'd rather be his pig than his son, because he wouldn't kill the pig to eat it. Not kosher." So there we are. He was a most wicked butcher. And one of the ironies, in a way, of this man's time was that he spent years and years and years remodeling or rebuilding the temple. It's called the Second Temple. And from 16 years before Jesus was born, that building was built, and it carried on after Herod's death. And of all the ironies, it was finished only a few years before the Romans pulled it all down. I've got a lot of sympathy with those Romans for pulling down Herod's temple. Do you remember the disciples? Do you remember how they saw it? What wonderful stones. We know roughly the size of the stones that Herod's men used to build that new temple. They were 600 tons in weight. And they were, I'll just give you an example, they were 13.5 metres long. Now, that's not far short of the length of this room. They were enormous. Well, someone will get a tape measure out afterwards and tell me, I believe this room is about 15 metres long. But this is Herod. But you are Herod building the temple of God? And he also built Masada in the Judean desert and beautiful Caesarea. Why did he do these things? Out of pure love for his own ego. If ever there was an example of, false worship being given, seeking to build up the house of God when all he wanted to do really was build up his reputation so generations afterwards would speak about Herod. We won't. That's what he was doing. To glorify himself. Now then, would you agree with me that he was a monster? Surely you'd agree with me. But what I want to say to you this morning is that there was an even bigger monster behind Herod. And that's my real interest. You see, the Bible says the devil was a murderer from the beginning. That's what our Lord Jesus said about him. You see, in Herod's attack, there is an invisible spiritual reality behind it. And that's why I read Revelation chapter 12. Did you see in Revelation chapter 12, John was given a vision of what? A great, the word is mega, a mega, if you like, that's the Greek word, a great fiery red dragon. And he explains to us that this was a vision of the devil, he says, who we know is called Satan, that old serpent. Now, I don't know how much you know about snakes. I don't know much. But snakes come in all sizes and shapes. Well, not shapes. All sizes. The British adder hardly grows to 3 feet long. That's long enough for me. But that's a small thing. The reticulated python can get up to 10 meters long. And you wouldn't want to meet him on a dark night in a forest in Burma. Right? But John is saying that this ancient serpent dwarfs these little things. He says, this is a great monster. That's what he's saying. He wants you to understand that the devil is a great monster. And it was the aim of Satan, this great dragon serpent monster, it was his aim to destroy the Lord Jesus Christ in his childhood. Why? Before he could live his perfect life. Before he could complete it and go to the cross. Before he could take our sins in his body to the cross. Before God could raise him from the dead. Before Christ could ascend to heaven and occupy the throne of heaven and rule in this world. King of kings, before he could come again. I want you to be in no doubt that Satan's aim at that time was to eliminate the Saviour of the world. And I want to add to this that not only at the time of Herod, but also in times past in history, Satan had tried the same plan, the same approach. Listen to this. In the year 1526 BC, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, commanded the slaughter of all the baby boys of Israel, including Judah. And God prevented Pharaoh from destroying the baby boys of Israel by the faithfulness, the courage of two midwives, Shiphrah and Puah. Those two women are heroines in the history of God's people and great servants of God, because behind Pharaoh was the devil. He wanted to cut off the line from Abraham through Judah down to David and Christ before Christ could come. That was 1526 before Christ. In the year 841 BC, there was a wicked Queen Athaliah. Queen Athaliah sent to murder all the royal seed. Do you know what that means? It means every child in the house of David. Every single child. Behind Athaliah was the devil, and if she had succeeded, the line to Christ would have ended. But again, there was one young girl, shall I say, another heroine in the history of God's people. Her name was Jehosheba. And this young girl hid away the little baby Joash. And for 7 years they hid him in the temple. And then they presented him. And the line of David went on. Satan's plan failed. I said three times, Pharaoh in Egypt, Athaliah in Judah. And then in the year 480, roughly 480 BC, old wicked Haman the Agagite set out to put to death all the Jews in the 127 provinces of the great empire, so that not one Jew would remain. That was his aim. And had Haman succeeded, then the line to Christ would have been extinguished. Who was behind wicked Haman? None but the same great red dragon. None but the old serpent. None but the devil and Satan. And again, the plans of Satan were thwarted and destroyed by another woman, another heroine of the faith, Queen Esther, who risked her life to rescue the people of God. But through this history, can you see that Satan has, from time to time, tried essentially the same attack upon the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, let me finish this morning with lessons. With lessons. You might say to me, well, Jesus came to die anyway. He did. But God the Father sent his Son to take human nature to die at the appointed time and in the appointed way. Okay? He was not to be murdered by Herod or anyone else in any other way than God the Father had appointed. He was sent to lay down his life as a sacrifice for us sinners. It had to be the sacrifice of the Son of God, not the murder of the Son of God. And I want you to see that Satan would have been delighted to murder the child to prevent the man Jesus from delivering us from sin and condemnation and judgment and eternal misery and torment in hell. But the death at Calvary instead was an absolute triumph in the plan of God. When Jesus, our Lord, laid down his life at Calvary, Satan was conquered. Satan was cast out. He was cast out of heaven, and his time is short. I want you to see this morning how crucial it was that the Lord Jesus Christ should lay down his own life at Golgotha outside Jerusalem. That he went there, judged, mind you, an innocent man, judged guilty, and he didn't open his mouth because he also knew that he was guilty in the sight of God through bearing the sins of his people. He went to die for the sins of his people at Calvary. And I can say to you this morning that there is no other way of escape. There is no one else in the history of the world who can or will be able to save you and me from hell. No one else. There is one Saviour, and that is Jesus Christ the righteous, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. And you and I, no matter what we think of ourselves, are sinners in God's sight, and the Bible tells us to run to Christ for deliverance. There is no time to delay. However old or young you are, run to Christ for deliverance, because he died at Calvary to spare you and many from an eternity of unbearable torment. In that place where it says, their worm never dies and the fire is never extinguished. So that's the first thing. The deliverance at Calvary was so vital, that the devil was doing all he could. 2,000 years before, and I haven't given you all the examples, some 15, 26 years before Christ, he wanted to stop Jesus coming into this world. Because the cross is so important. Now then, the second lesson, and this is all now, is there is a warning here. Okay? There is a warning that you and I have an invisible and a fearful enemy. Do you remember in Revelation 12 that when he was cast out of heaven, do you remember what he did next? He turned his wrath against the children of God, the disciples of Jesus Christ, if you like. The target that Satan has now that he has lost the battle over Christ, now that Christ is reigning to return again, right? Satan now turns his attack upon you and the church and other disciples of Jesus Christ. Why? Why? Because he couldn't prevent Christ from saving us. And so all he can do now is seek to destroy us. You understand that, don't you? He says, well, if I can't prevent Christ from dying, that battle's lost. I'll win battles in the lives of you. And if we had time, we could look at Revelation 13. And in this terrible battle, he uses the beast. That's just a reference to the political powers of this world. The Roman emperor and his... And you know what the world says? It stands back and admires the political powers. Who is able to make war with this beast? Who can overcome the mighty rulers of this world? But the point here is this, we as Christians journeying to our heavenly city, we are involved in a deadly battle. Deadly battle. For that reason, the Apostle Peter writes to the church. He says, you must be vigilant. Vigilant means on the watch and wide awake. Wide awake. Why? He says, because your adversary, you have an enemy, the devil, is going around, what? Like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. That might be you today. You seeking someone to devour. In other words, the devil is prowling around among the human race. John says, he says, he deceives the whole world. He says, the whole world, actually that's in Revelation, in John's letter, he says, the whole world lies under the power of the evil one. The devil is exercising massive power in the world today. And his chief weapon is not F-35 fighters. It's not cruise missiles. His chief weapon is deception. Deception. He deceives the whole world. And that's why Peter warns us to be vigilant and awake. He's saying you must be awake to the strategies and the lies of the devil. And you, in other words, the only way that you can be on your alert is by great attention to the Word of God. Right? Paul says in his letters, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Christians don't go round with AK-47s or swords and shields. Christians go round with a different weapon, the Word of God, under the headship of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible makes it quite clear that Christ won the battle because of the Word of God. He knew the Word of God. And we are going to win the battle by the knowledge of Christ and the Word of God. There it is, at the day of judgment. The Bible warns, at the day of judgment, some, many, will be taken and cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. And do you know who's in that lake? Do you know who they'll be with in that lake? Satan. That's the place the devil is also being cast. And Satan wants to deceive you and many out there because he wants you in that lake with him. That's his goal. He can't prevent Christ from being exalted, but he may try to prevent you from being exalted with Christ. He doesn't want you to join Christ in heaven. When you die, he doesn't want you to be carried by the angels into the presence of God. He wants to drag you down into the pit which burns with fire and sulfur. That's what's going on. That's what's going on. And so you see, we have in Christ and Christ alone, we have a doorway into heaven. And great hope when the time of our death comes, or if Christ returns again. If you are in Christ, if you know that he died for your sins, then you also know that whatever Satan tries, he will fail in your life. You're only safe with Christ. But if you're not his, if you're not truly trusting in him, if you haven't believed in the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart and soul, then be warned. Be warned. You have an enemy that would love, just love to have you in hell forever. And I don't want you to be in hell forever. That's why I'm preaching. It's the Word of God. I can't emphasize it more than this. In the Word of God, there is truth. And that truth is a shield against the lies of that great murdering enemy of our souls. Okay. Well, let us look to Christ, treasure his word, be alert, be watchful, persevere to the end. Amen.